This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19, Monday, the 4th of July, and you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, together with Philip C. And in about 30 minutes, we discuss the reasons behind Sabah's lagging economic development. But in the meantime, let's talk about Sabahan politics and where it sits in the broader opposition, because a public rift seems to have been triggered between DAP and Warisan. After Warisan's president, Dato' Sri Shafiq Abdal, said that he was willing to align his party with whoever wins GE15. So this, of course, caused DAP Secretary General Anthony Lok to call Shafiq's stand absurd and unprincipled. Shafiq had made these comments during an online Facebook session and explained that this was to ensure political stability and safeguard the interests of the Malaysians.
This rift is somewhat significant as DAP has had a close relationship with Warisan than with the other Pakatan Harapan components. You know, during the 2020 Sabah state elections, DAP contested under Warisan's logo. Lok, in fact, at one point was also among those in Harapan who allegedly backed Shafiq as a prime minister candidate. But now, as the rift seems to be in the offing, the list of allies for Pakatan Harapan has grown thinner. So, can we expect the opposition bloc to put up a strong showing when GE15 gets called? Or will it be a walkover for Barisan Nasional, which has been consolidating its strength ever since it won the past three state by-elections?
For some analysis, we turn to Dr. Oh Isan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Good morning, Isan. Always nice to speak to you. Now, what do you make of the rift between DAP and Warisan? Does this signal a fracture within the PH Plus alliances?
Well, as you mentioned, they used to work very closely together, right? Up until, I would say, for example, the end of last year. But since then, I think, for example, Warisan has spread its wing to West Malaysia and even into Penang, which was seen as a traditional fortress of DAP. And Warisan focused on those non-Malay seats in West Malaysia. And therefore, I think DAP is less than thrilled about it. But on the other hand, of course, from Warisan's point of view, I wouldn't say it's a desperate move, but you have seen over the last 2 years or so, almost every other month, there would be some Warisan, either MPs or ADUNs, sort of hopping to another side of the political divide or become so-called independent but supportive of the current government. So I think Warisan would have to, at some point, show its supporters that it could still be part of the government, such that a lot of these supporters will stay with it. And as a result of that, Shafiq made this statement, namely they would support whoever becomes the next government or the winner of next election. For DAP, this is particularly offensive, I think, because DAP also recognize, for example, UMNO is going to win the largest blocks of seats in the next general election. And perhaps with Warisan's help and so on, UMNO could indeed become the next government. So you'll be back to square one to be before 2018 again. Yeah.
But Isan, I noticed that PKR has been silent on this. What do you think is happening there?
Well, I think Anwar is making various political calculation moves and so on. I think Anwar still harbors this thought that somehow miraculously is going to emerge as the consensus candidate to be prime minister and so on. But of course, Shafiq, I think, is also equally convinced that he might be the candidate. So I think all of them are making various political calculations, permutations, combinations and so on. But at the end of the day, I think we will see a scenario whereby UMNO would be in any future possible permutation of governmental setup. Yeah.
So everyone wants to be a consensus candidate. Who are the leading candidates? Is it Zahid versus Ismail Sabri then?
Zahid would first, of course, have to clear his legal concerns before he could be seriously considered a candidate. Ismail Sabri, I think, could safely be taken out from the equation. And even if he remains, he'll be a very much a lame duck prime minister, just as he is now. And this country will have to run on autopilot for quite some time to come. I think nobody would like to see that, especially not in these economically difficult times. So you would have, you would engender hopes for people like Anwar and Shafi, because if Ismail Sabri could also become prime minister, why not, you know, a more senior candidate such as myself, right? So this kind of sentiments, I think, run deep in both Shafi and Anwar psyche. Yeah.
Okay, Ihsan, let's bring the conversation back to your hometown, because we're seeing a lot of emphasis being placed on Sabah lately, with comments from Dato' Sri Mohammad Hassan suggesting a new Malaysia agreement on Sabah rights. Then Dato' Sri Zahid saying BN will never be cornered again in the polls. And of course, Dato' Sri Najib was also there over the weekend. So what's BN's strategy in Sabah?
Well, again, I think BN and especially UMNO would win quite a number of seats. So at the moment, UMNO, I mean, when we talk about BN Sabah, mainly it's UMNO, right? Mm. Would face challenges from both the PN coalition as well as PH. But PN is somewhat morphed into this so-called GIS in Sabah. So I think both this GIS and BN or UMNO would win a number of seats, plus Warisan would win a number of seats. So possibly there could be a coalition government if you are talking about state election. But in terms of parliamentary seats, again, they would each win a number of seats. And if they all come together to form the federal government, then, well, you have a working majority in parliament. Because Sabah, I think, together with Sarawak, comprises about one quarter of the total number of seats in parliament. Therefore, it is very crucial that you sort of corner Sabah and Sarawak. Sarawak, undoubtedly, they would be, just like what Shafi said, to be with the winner of the next general election, which perhaps, you know, you wouldn't see a clear-cut winner emerging. But let's say UMNO or BN has the largest chunks of seats together with Sabah and Sarawak, you would top it up to become the next government. Yeah.
So, I mean, over the weekend, so much news happening on the political front, state, even federal, with Muhyiddin going over to see Ismail Sabri. Are we going to see elections in the next 6 months?
Well, we could possibly see such election, but even if it is afterwards, it doesn't quite make much difference nowadays, because the general election would, at the very latest, I think, have to be held by, let's say, September of next year. If you make the various calculations about, you know, when did Parliament first seat after 2018 and so on. But the point is, it's not much difference. It's a difference of, let's say, 3, 4, 5 months, half a year at most. So might as well get it over with. But the caveat is, of course, this sort of political uncertainty is likely to persist even beyond the next general election, because nobody, as I said, is likely to win an outright majority. And as long as you don't have this anti-hopping law, I think there will still be a lot of party hoppings going on.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Oh Ihsan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, telling us likely coalition politics is here to stay. I think there's no going to be a clear winner, maybe at GE15. I think party hopping, or basically even political parties are changing their alliances as we speak.
I wonder who benefits the most from fractured politics. No one.
Well, Barisan will say maybe them, based on the last three by-elections. But we will be watching this space very closely. Up next, the future of Hong Kong. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.